Hey, this is Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express. When I'm around, I listen to the Double Dropkick Show.
Hey, it's Heath Mulligan from the Double Dropkick Show, and I'm honored to be joined right now by the host of the Taking Over podcast, Jern and Jam. Guys, how are you doing tonight?
What's happening, Heath Mulligan? It is our pleasure to be talking to you tonight for on behalf of myself and my punk partner, Patterson. Thanks for having us. We love the Double Dropkick Show.
He knows I am the Shawn Michaels.
Oh,
he is the Marty Jannetty. I'm the Bret Hart. He's the Jim the Anvil Neidhart. I'm the Ric Flair. He's the Rip Hulk or Greg Valentine of the show. I mean, it's just the way it is, Heath, but it's an honor to be here, man. Thanks for having us.
So just to, if you're listening, just to get a little feedback, Journey Jam are based out of Asheboro, North Carolina, and just know them through church stuff, and we have a common love for professional wrestling and basketball and church politics, all these great things. And I was actually on their podcast a little while back, and we talked about SummerSlam.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So so the reason we're having you guys on is you went to Starrcade the other night, Greensboro, North Carolina. Before I ask you about that, have you guys been to a wrestling show in Greensboro before the other night?
Yeah, man, I went back in the 80s when it was popular. We had a buddy there, Scott Simmons.
Yes.
Scott Simmons was actually beat up by Wahoo McDaniel in Greensboro Coliseum. So 8:15 bell time every Saturday night, man, it was phenomenal back in the day.
Wow.
Saw guys like Johnny Weaver, Jimmy Valiant, Mr. Wrestling too, all those guys, Tim Woods. So man, I grew up going to Greensboro Coliseum.
Cool. One of the things on mine and Mark's wrestling bucket list is to see a show in Greensboro, but it just didn't work out to go to Starrcade this year. So what was your reaction when you heard that it was even coming to Greensboro? What was your reaction to that?
My first thought was I got to be at this deal, because I'd never seen an old school NWA show or WCW show in Greensboro. I'd been to a couple of WWE shows in recent years, but I thought they're bringing Starrcade. I knew it was going to be an event. I knew they were going to put some time and thought into it. And I was a WCW man over the WWF anyway. So I thought, I'm going to be there. I got the call Saturday morning. Said, hey, man, we got free tickets. I thought, I'm in, bro.
Yeah. So what was the crowd like Saturday night?
It was a good crowd, man. The bottom was filled up. We had the first row of the second story. It was pretty packed. So I would say easily... anywhere between 5,000 to 7,000 people in there. Good crowd, man, and they were really into it.
You know it's going to be a good night when before the first match starts, there's already woo chants going across the building. Right. So we knew we were in for a good night.
Yeah. So would you say was the building 80% full, or a little less than that, or?
Oh yeah, it was probably about 75%, 80% full. They didn't have anything blacked out or tarped up, so, I mean, it went up. So, it was a good crowd.
Yeah, and I know there were a lot of people who were in town for WrestleCade, which is in Winston-Salem, who just made, Starrcade a part of their weekend. So, let's look back at Saturday night. What were some of your favorite moments from Starrcade 2017?
I mean, for me, one of the first ones was the very first match. You got Glorious Rude of Dolph Ziggler with the enforcer, Arn Anderson, as the enforcer for the match. And you kind of knew somewhere a spine buster was coming.
We were hoping a spine buster was coming.
I thought it was going to come from Glorious Rude.
Right.
Because, he's an old school guy anyways. He paid tribute to Flair before. And so I was like, man, Rude is going to give this guy the spine buster. And then out of nowhere, Arn Anderson's in the ring, classic Arn Anderson spinebuster, and it was, I mean, the place just erupted when it happened. So that for me was like right off the get-go, a highlight for it. Jeremy, what was yours?
Anytime Ric Flair's in the building, that's my highlight. Yeah. I don't care if he's talking, if he's wrestling, Lord knows he ain't doing that. But the fact that he was in the building, that was my highlight. You see, he came out and stood on the ramp. He introduced Charlotte. He talked about some memories of Starcades in the past and about the city of Greensboro. Just to see the impact that Greensboro and Starcade has had on him and the way he views it and the place it holds in his heart today, man, that was the best part by far. That was the reason I went. And so my goal of going to Starcade was to see Flair, and it was met.
Yeah, I've heard secondhand that, like, he's doing even worse than what people realize. Like, financially, physically, like, he's not doing well. Not doing well at all. So, I mean, just that he's able to make appearances, like, to me, is just, like, great. Great that he's able to get out there and do that. So, one of the things that happened leading up to Starcade, when they first announced it, we talked about this earlier when we were setting this up. Rock and Roll Express was supposed to wrestle Gallows and Anderson. It was supposed to be Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal for the title. Obviously, a lot of that stuff got changed. So how did you feel getting there and you're expecting to see Rock and Roll Express? And they always put cards subject to change, you know.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But how did you feel going in thinking you're going to see certain stuff and then not getting to see that?
I was good with it. I mean, you know, just those guys coming out. And what was cool was they had a tribute video to the Rock and Roll Express on how they really set the bar for tag teams of today.
Yeah.
With their, you know, how they just worked so well together with Robert and Bobby. So I was okay with that. I thought that they had like a four tag team match. And I thought they were going to sneak the Rock and Roll Express into that match where they could just kind of hide in the corner. Yeah. Something happened, but they came out with the Hardys and they paid a little tribute, so I was good with that.
Do we really need to see Ricky and Robert run and take a bump and wear spandex? Like Ricky still got his nice mullet.
And no, rocking it.
And I think that's good for me anyway. I don't want to speak for everybody, but that's good for me just to see him in his mullet. We really don't need to see a double drop kick. Although a double drop kick's cool, but in 2017, do we really need to see a Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson double drop kick?
Absolutely. That is probably the greatest t-shirt I've ever seen, Keith. That's
yeah,
amazing.
They were just here in Seneca a while, back in May, and got to hang out with them, and so yeah, that it's crazy that they're still working at their age. How was they did two cage matches, and I noticed, you know, normally WWE lowers the cage, but they did the old school setup cages. How are those matches Saturday night? I know Charlotte and Natalya, and then AJ and Jinder.
When we first got there, we were looking for the cage on top of the ring, and we thought maybe they changed their mind, right? Yeah. Like we thought, where's the cage? We were expecting it to be lower, too. And then we saw off to the side of the stage, they had a stack of steel over there, and we realized they were going to put the cage up. To me, I love it just because we got to watch them construct the cage like the old school, right? As far as the cage, I've never been to a live cage match. So there's some problems, obviously, with viewing it, you know, obviously just because the cage is there.
Yeah.
But it was cool to be a part of the first women's cage match. Obviously, they've had a Hell in a Cell a couple months ago. But to see Charlotte in the cage in Greensboro, it well worth my money.
And I like the fact that even in the Jinder and AJ match, they went old school a couple times where they would take the head and rake it across the fence. But the bad part was, you know, no blood now.
Yeah.
But like Jerm said, just to watch them put the cage together, and there was a couple of times where we really were concerned when they were straddling the top of the cage.
It was shaky.
And we watched them construct it like, are we sure we really want to be up here, you know, trying this move? Because, I mean, you could look at one end and you could see it bowing, you know, with nobody even touching it. So we were looking for it to actually come down.
That's funny. Jern, you just said that you got your money's worth. You got to go for free, bro.
Amen.
Hey, I mean, we had great tickets. Dennis Garcia at the Courier Tribune here in Asheville, the Asheville paper. They had us two free tickets, a parking pass. We got to go into the Diamond Club upstairs and eat. So, I mean,
we were treated
like kings, man. It was nice.
Well, they know you got the number one. Listen, you got the number one podcast in Asheboro, City Limits, and, you know,
WWE took care of us, my man.
Yeah, they did.
What can I say?
That's right. Hey, so before I let you go, let me just ask you, let's go back to old school Starcades, because just the other day, I was watching Starcade 84, and I'm just going to be honest, some of those old shows from start to finish just don't hold up too well over time. But as you think back growing up, knowing about Starcade, what's some of your favorite Starcade matches or moments from growing up?
For me, the first one's got to be Flair for the Gold.
Right.
Flair versus Harley Race. Then, of course, you got Flair versus Vader. And you talk about, you know, the whole show doesn't mesh up. I think if you go back in time and you watch how they actually built the feuds up, even for the other matches, not just the main event, it makes it a little bit better. You know, my knack on WWE now is the story's not as good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, back then you didn't have as many pay-per-views, and so you had more time to build up the rivalry, you had more time to build up the show. And so for me, you know, like I said, watching Harley Race and Flair go at it, and then, of course, Luger and Flair. So, I mean, there were some good build-ups to Stargate that I really loved.
Couple of Starcade memories. Number one, anything with Lex Luger, I'm in.
You're a Luger guy.
Just to hear him clothesline somebody and go, ah, I'm fine. Number two, 93, Flair's retirement match with Vader.
Yeah.
When they had his whole family there, they did the whole thing with Mean Gene riding with Flair in the limo, going to the Coliseum in Charlotte. Amazing. And then do not forget, the next year in 94, with Hulk Hogan versus The Butcher.
Should we have to go there?
You boys don't like Brutus?
Should we have to go there?
The Beefcake, the Barber.
No. Unbelievable. We went right there.
The sad thing, you know, they just had the Flair 30 for 30, and you go back and you look at all those retirement matches, he's like with a different family every time.
You got a point there. You got a very good point. I'll tell you this before you let us go. I think the greatest Ric Flair cage match ever was when him and Dusty went at it. They locked the cage, all the horsemen were in there, and they just beat the entire mess out of Dusty Rhodes. And it got so heated, if you go back and watch it, that the fans actually came up to the cage and only locked themselves in the cage to protect them.
Yeah,
Heath, do you want to correct this young man who was in that match?
I think it was Nikita and Flair.
It was Nikita and Flair, and the Russians jumped Flair, and
Dusty made the save,
and the Omni in Atlanta, and he came down, made the save, and then Ole Arn did come in, and they Ole did lock the cage back up, and that's when they broke Dusty's leg, and Dusty sold it so well that they took the cage apart, took the ring apart, and carried. I mean, it was one of the greatest. Like, you thought they were going to have to amputate his leg. But I go back, you know, like you said, one of the biggest disappointments for me going back and watching some of the old stuff is leading up to Starcade 84, the Assassin cuts one of these the greatest promos of all times, talking about he's got his tape fist, and he calls him, I can't remember what he calls him, but he's like, I got to feed him. And he's talking about Jimmy Valiant. He's going to have a tape fist match at Starcade with Jimmy Valiant. And somehow between September and Thanksgiving, the Assassin has turned good. He is teaming with Buzz Tyler against the Zambui Express. And it's like, you've been gearing up for this huge Assassin and Paul Jones versus Jimmy Valiant. And it's like, and the Assassin ends up being, what's funny is the Assassin ends up being in Jimmy Valiant's corner in his tuxedo street fight against Paul Jones. And the Assassin is wearing a tuxedo with the mask.
With the mask, yes.
So maybe I'm not so disappointed. Maybe we were better off. But Starcade 85 is by far my favorite. The I Quit match with Magnum and Tully. Rock and Roll Express versus the Russians in the cage. And then, of course, the Dusty finish where he, you know, wins the belt and doesn't win the belt. But Well, guys, like I said at the opening of the show, you guys have your own podcast. Why don't you tell our listeners what your podcast is about and how they can hook up with it?
Man, we record every week. It's called Taking Over with Jernan Jam. What we do is we have the hottest topics, the top topics in sports today. We're talking NFL. We're talking NCAA basketball now that it's up and running. Of course, there's going to be some Carolina Duke talk, trash junk going on. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on Facebook at Taking Over Sports. Join our group. Since basketball has started, there has been a lot more, dare I say, trash talk. Some friendly trash talk, some not so friendly trash talk.
Yeah.
Look us up on Facebook at Taking Over Sports. You will find everything from NFL, Major League Baseball just ended, to NCAA basketball, to LeBron talk. We talk LeBron versus Jordan, who's the best ever.
Right.
Look for our podcast every Tuesday at Taking Over Sports on Facebook.
I'll have links to all that, links to the podcast and Facebook page in the show notes. I'm in a fantasy football league with these guys called the Flair for the Goal Fantasy Football League. My team is probably the stud stable is not looking good this year. Looks like we're going to fail to miss the playoffs for the first time in league history after we retired last year. And we're coached, you know, somehow let them coach us back into being in the league.
I think I was threatening to give up your spot. Your spot.
And not any spot.
You wouldn't let it happen. Your spot.
That's right. Listen, no one else could have drafted as poorly and run a team into the ground this year as greatly as I have. So, gentlemen, thank you for your time tonight. Have fun recording your own show. And we need to hit up, what is that restaurant you're always eating at, Jam and Dang Ashley?
Oh, the Golden Waffle, baby.
Yeah, I'm not hitting that. I'll hit up Sir Pizza with you.
I'm in. Let's go.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks a lot, man. Talk to you guys later, all right?
Thanks, Heath. All right, see you, Heath.
Right. And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.